When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to She Podcast, podcasting from the women's point of view.
Woohoo!
I'm your host, Jessica Kupferman. With me, as always, as Elsie Juanita Escobar.
Juanita, that's my brother's name.
Oh, your brother's name is Juan, right?
Yeah.
Juan, and the other one's Luis, right?
Luis, yeah.
Those aren't common at all. And then John Domingo, our producer. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Today is a coffee day. You guys, I have a coffee, not a smoothie.
I have a tea, not a Coke or a coffee, because I'm in hell.
Oh, awesome.
I have all the congestion and bullshit happening.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
That's one thing you can't predict is when you're going to get sick.
It's true. You can't predict it. And like, it's actually good. Like when it's all sitting here, my throat's getting sore, my whole face hurts. Like my teeth hurt the other day. That's how sick I was. Like now that it's all running and I'm coughing, like I know it's leaving.
Oh my
God. And so I feel better, but I'm like a physical mass of just like, I'm great, guys. Like it's gross.
Yeah. And then also,
that was my mouth, by the way, not my nose. My nose sounds like this.
All right. Okay.
So now, Welcome to all the new listeners. This is Podcasting from the Women's Point of View, all about nose noises and mouth noises and disgustingness. This is really what it takes.
That's not even the most disgusting part, but okay, let's not get into it, shall we?
Right. And I guess, you know, those of you guys who are listening to the show right now, they might possibly be getting ready to fly to Atlanta because this is She Podcast Live week, y'all.
If you're listening at the moment this comes out, know that I am flying there today, Monday the 7th. I'm getting there around 7 p.m. at night. And I hope it all works out. I'm sure I have a billion boxes there for me because I've been sending myself things there for like a month. So
fantastic.
T-shirts, tote bags, all kinds of goodies. Yeah, all kinds of goodies. So what's going on with you guys? Are you excited? When do you leave? Tuesday?
I leave Tuesday. I should be there Tuesday afternoon, which is, I have to like look, but I'll be there Tuesday afternoon. So I'm leaving straight from town, straight from downtown.
Oh, you're going to take the girls and then leaving from Asheville.
Yes, I am. So then I'm going to be taking an Uber because it's the best. You know what I mean? It was the best idea for everybody. Ooh, Uber.
John's like, ooh.
Uber. But alas, though, I mean, one of the reasons that we decided to put this show out and kind of because it's hard, dude. Podcasting is hard. The last 2 weeks, I haven't even been able to put the show notes up because we've been so busy.
So Elsie suggested that we talk about the birth of She Podcast.
That's right.
And the insemination that led to the birth. Ew. Of She Podcast. Ew, that was creepy.
That was really creepy.
And then I guess how we got to where we are. So that's kind of a good way to eat up some time. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We thought that some of you who are coming to She Podcast may not know the conception of how it got here, why we're here. I mean, actually this week was another milestone for us. Did you know that we hit 14,000 members this week?
That's insane. That's just out of control. It's time. Yeah, it is time for us to get more serious about that stuff. But no, but we're like,
I could be a little overdue at this point.
It could be a little bit overdue.
I think at 1,000, we probably should have started taking it seriously.
Yes, we should have yeah, absolutely. But alas, we're busy. We're busy. We do other things.
And important.
You know, we're doing other things as well. No, but let's start at the beginning because one of the things that you've been doing too for anybody who has been on our list, and if you're not on our list, what is the number that they have to text? Might as well say it now.
Text She Podcasts to 6866 to get on our list to learn about new episodes and everything that's going on with She Podcast Live.
That's amazing. So, and it's She Podcast all together, one word. So She Podcast all together.
With an S at the end, She Podcasts.
Okay, so one of the reasons that I'm bringing this up too is because Jess has been writing these incredible emails to our list.
Thank
and
you.
She's been sort of like kind of going back through memory lane of the inception of what we were, what we are, how it all happened and all the stuff. And I didn't really actually quite realize that the reason that this all kind of began was because of a conference.
You didn't?
No, I didn't know that.
I think you're in denial.
You laid it out. You laid it out so clearly. I was like, oh my God, that is why this exists.
It exists because conferences are huge catalysts for change, whether you know it or not. Showing up and being open to whatever possibility lies in the doors of that hotel is huge. You know, actually, just speaking of this, one of my friends who's going to be there, Tara, who you know, John.
Yes.
Tara is coming to Atlanta. And yesterday she posts on Facebook, like, does anyone know a career counselor or someone who could, like, kind of point me in the direction? Like, I know what I don't want to do and I know what I used to do, but I don't know what I want to do now. And I was like, I think you might want to just come to the conference and have an open mind, because the first step is leaving the house. That's how you figure it out. You got to actually go out. Not that she's a homebody. She's not. It's just that I don't think that there's a lot of opportunities here in bumfuck Delaware to explore your creativity and, like, but also find a way to do it from home, but also still be funny. Like, podcasting kind of has a lot of that stuff all rolled up into, you know, she has a husband who's a little disabled. She takes care of him. And, like, she's a kid in college. Like, it's not her fault she doesn't go out, you know, but our lifestyle just is like that sometimes. So back to the conference, it's a huge catalyst. And it was a huge catalyst for me when I met you, and a huge catalyst for me when I met John Lee Dumas. For good reasons and bad reasons, because I, you know, like, I thought he was the most brilliant man on earth, and that's hilarious now. And I'm so glad,
John,
I found that
we
out,
love
though.
You, John. I can actually say that now.
I do. You know, it's
you know?
Funny. I don't know if he appreciates as much as I do that him giving me the wrong answer to the question, how do you grow your show, is what caused this entire movement. Was John being like, just double your shows and then you'll have double downloads. And I was like, what? No. What? No, that's when I met him. Yeah, in Vegas. And I had the one question, how did you grow? And he had no idea because he said help. I don't blame him.
Right. Absolutely. So was that in that, and was that that NMX, that the NMX that we went to in the same flight? Was that it?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So let's take it back just a little bit. So tell them the story. So
I have
been going to conferences for quite a while, that because there was like one podcasting conference every year. There was one, right? And it used to be the Portable and New Media Expo. Which was, and it was before that, it was called, I think, the Podcast Expo. Anyway, that used to happen in Ontario, California. It started to morph, and then eventually it became New Media Expo. That's like the iteration of it. It actually kept growing, and it actually sold. Like, there was all kinds of hands changing and all this kind of stuff in terms of the conference. But that's where it used to be. It was a smallish type conference. I would attend it, and it's kind of like it had always been a party. It was always a party in the sense of, like, meeting your friends. It was always like a camp. Like, it's like, oh, meeting in camp, like, once a year. And I never bought, this is sad, but I never bought a conference ticket. I would just go to the conference and I would hang out and I would meet the people. And you would remember, like, I would meet the podcasters. And after I started work, in fact, I had I was hired by Libsyn at the Podcast and New Media Expo in Ontario right around, 2007. Which is crazy, right? Again, at a conference, I sat down with Rob Walsh. We finally had this conversation face to face. And that's how the job was offered, which was amazing. So after that stuff, then it turned into the New Media Expo. And this was sort of like part of, since I was now working for Libsyn, this is part of my job now to travel. I went to this conference and that's where I met Jessica. Like, I was taking a flight, I think, well, not I think, I know, from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to Las Vegas. And I had tweeted out, right, Jess? I was like, I want to see that tweet because if we can find that, that would be amazing to find that tweet where I was like, I'm headed to Las Vegas for, because you were like, what, where are you? And I was like, I'm in Philly. I think I was in, I don't know if I was said I'm going to Philly or I am in Philly in a layover. Like, I can't remember because then you started, I think we DM'd. Were we DMing? Because I don't think I had your...
No, it was live.
No, but what I'm saying is that you were tweeting live. Like, so everybody was reading this information then, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think then you were like, what flight number are you on? Mm-hmm. I was like, and I told you and you showed up like literally within an hour. It was crazy.
So picture it. 2013.
I did not do a good job of telling that story.
Is it 2013 or 24? Probably 2014.
No, 2013, because 2014 podcast movement came, and that's when She Podcast had just been born. So 2013.
2014 in January.
Then it was that year.
It was 2014. Okay, okay. I had just gotten through. So my children were 15 and 14, and I had just gotten through Hanukkah and Christmas with them, and like the NMX was supposed to start on like the 3rd of January, and there was a huge snowstorm on the East Coast. It just like wiped every flight out of Philadelphia. So I thought out. I had a flight. I got notice it was canceled that day. I got another flight. It was canceled within 20 minutes. I got another flight. It was canceled before I even got a chance to fucking check out. And so I was sad. And I remember sitting on my couch, like in my pajamas, very sad. And he was like, and Scott, of course, is like very subtly being like, well, I guess you can't go this year. And I was just like,
oh my God.
Inside, I was like screaming, no, like I had to get out of here. It was cold and snowing. And I just wanted to be in, I think it was my first time in Vegas. I'd never been there before. And it was warm. And like, I was just sick of winter. Anyway, I was a little desperate to get out. So then I was following the NMX hashtag. And I see YoGeek say Pittsburgh to Philly and then Philly to Vegas. And I was like, I beg your pardon, because I was trying to get out of Philly.
Right.
And I was like, what flight? She was like all subtle, like, oh, I'm coming for. And I'm like, no. Give me the flight number now. And so she gives me the flight number. And I was like, okay, book a flight, throw on my clothes, run out the door. Thank God I only live 20 minutes from the airport. And I was already packed. I was like sitting on my suitcase, like pouting when I saw the tweet. So I ran to the airport. And like when I got there, I was texting her. Like, this is when I think we started DMing or at least like text messaging each other, like, oh, I'll be there in a minute. And I'll see you at the airport. And I got a huge cheesesteak, a chicken cheesesteak. And I was just about to eat it when I saw her. I thought maybe I'd have like 10 minutes before she got there. And I was like, sit down to open it. It's a mess. It's like pats, whatever they have at the airport. It's like a meaty, greasy mess. And I close it back up. And she's like, hi. We hug and we take a selfie. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, but I just got here from my pajamas and I'm starving, but I don't want to offend you. And she was like, why would you offend me? And I was like, cause it's a giant meat sandwich. And she goes, I'm not a vegetarian. Like, I was an idiot. Like, I was an idiot. I mean, she's like the crunchiest person I know. And she's like, I eat meat. And I was like, sweet. And so it was it actually was the beginning of me understanding Elsie, the classic enigma of a woman who is a master yogi, but isn't offended by a giant greasy meat sandwich. That is exactly you.
Like,
it's exactly why I know, but yeah. There's so many different things like that, Elsie. Like, it's the reason why you can live, in a mountain, but still have a technical job. Like, all of that fits for only you and no one else. And that was the first time I was like, all right, she's not what you think. That's the first time I was like, you have to get to know you, because on the outside, you're like this hippie type, but really you are and you're not. You're just uniquely you. Anyway. That's neither here nor there.
Anyway.
So then I'm like, well, let's see if the person next to me will switch. And you're like, no, I'm just going to sit by myself. And I was like, oh.
I know. It's because I'm okay. So you have to get a little inside of my head.
Now I know why. Okay. But at the time I was like, that bitch. Okay. She doesn't want to sit. I just thought you just wanted to be alone. You made it sound like you just wanted to be alone.
No, I know. I didn't. No, I am
probably
really.
You did.
overwhelmed by following rules and breaking rules. And like, just the idea of having, of asking somebody to move because they were going to be moved out of the seat that they had been assigned was like,
she couldn't do it.
It was too much stress. It was too much stress. I was like, I can't handle it. I don't want to. Like, that's too much stuff. Like, no. I want to go where the people told me to sit.
She couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it,
you guys. And I was a little hurt, but that's fine.
I know. Well, I waited.
So I was in the front of the plane. She was in the back. And she's lucky I waited for her when we got off, because I thought, well, she wants to be alone. I'll just let her be alone. And I thought that would be the rudest thing I've ever done. I'll just wait for her. Because, I mean, we're still friendly, even though I thought that was a little weird. So I wait for her. We start walking through the airport. First thing she says is, I need a breast pump. I've got to find a breast pump. And like, I'm trying to get pregnant, but even if I wasn't, I don't know where to fucking rent a breast pump. Like, who knows how to rent a breast pump? So I was like,
I didn't know. I totally forgot. And it's because my boobs started to hurt.
I am not sure I can help you. Yeah. You're like, my boobs are killing me. Where can I rent a breast pump? And I was like, my head was like, just squirt it out, woman. Like, I don't know. Why don't you have your own? I mean, you know, I just was like, yeah, I can't help you with that. So immediately I know we're going to part ways at the hotel, because she's got to go to Whole Foods and find a breast pump. And I was just like, it's a long flight to Vegas from Philly. I mean, it's like 6-7 hours. It's a long ass flight. So I was like, I'm just going to go and sleep until, you know, and I had a roommate, Emily Chase Smith, who was there. And I met up with her, and then we went to dinner, and then I saw Elsie the next day at the conference. You weren't in a booth. We were just, you know, we kind of like, I don't think we texted. Yeah, I don't think we texted that much during the conference. I definitely wasn't like, I must speak with Elsie. And I know she wasn't like that with me. Like, if we saw each other, we were like, hi, great to see you. But like, we didn't really know each other that well other than B school. So we just kind of like, I think at one point I was with Emily and Maggie Patterson and Aaliyah Williams. I was going to say, I couldn't remember your last name. And I happened to see her and I was like, come on, all the girls are going to go have crab legs. We all sat down at like the Rio buffet and ate a ridiculous amount of crab legs. And honestly, it looked like the crab rockets were there. Like, they were all like the buffet. They were all poised like they were like doing the can-can. It was amazing. It was the most. Anyway, so we all sat there and cracked crab legs and joked with each other. You were there for that, right? It was really fun.
I don't think I didn't do the crab legs. We went to get burgers, and there was like, it was very loud. There was like a gigantic booth. And
that was with Natalie and her husband, right?
That's right. And then
I remember that.
It was like a huge, it was a lot of people on
that.
It
became
table.
A lot of people in the Vegas restaurant. I remember that too. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's anyway, long story short, we weren't exactly like inseparable at the conference. But what I learned at that conference was that hanging out with the women was much more valuable, because when I wanted to ask how to do something in podcasting, I found that their answers just made more sense for what I was trying to accomplish. And men either had a very technical answer, or they wanted me to hire an editor, which I couldn't afford, or they wanted me to get a mixer, which I don't know how to work, you know, or they wanted me to hire a VA, which I also couldn't afford and didn't want to do. And so women were just like, oh, all I do is tie a knot around the thing and then blow, like whatever. And it all made sense. And I was like, great. So when I got home on my own, I was like, you know, that was so valuable. Honestly, I already missed the women there, because I felt like no one else was understanding this journey so much. So I opened a Facebook group and I just put 7 people in it. The 7 people that were there was like Natalie, Katie Kremitzos, you, Maggie, Sandy, Emily, and maybe a couple other people. I don't remember. And then like a day went by. We started chatting in there. I mean, it wasn't heavy conversation at all. It was like, oh, by the way, what do you think about this? What do you do about that? Because I still had more to ask. I was still new, like about 6 months new. And like, you know, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to do that I couldn't do for whatever reason, because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And they had come before me. So, and then also you were answering a lot of questions, which I thought was cool. And then all of a sudden, more women, you started adding women like by the handful, like Mignon Fogarty from Grammar Girl. And I was like, yay, because I had met her at the conference and she was awesome. And then like a couple other people. And I was like, wow, she knows a lot of people. And then like a week or so goes by and she goes like, I'm so glad you started this group, because I've always wanted to do a Facebook group for women podcasters. And I thought, well, what the hell was stopping you? Like, because it took me 5 seconds. It takes 5 seconds to just set it up and give it a name and add people. I was like, you're welcome. That's cool. And she was like, well, I've always had this vision of like calling it She Podcasts. Would you mind if we change the name of it? And I was like,
no, dude, that's not how it happened. So we were talking and here it was, and then it started to grow and grow and grow. And then people started, that's when the people started to ask, can there be a podcast? Is there a podcast for women podcasters inside of the group? We should start one. Like, everybody was asking that inside of the group. Somebody needs to start it.
Oh.
And then we got together, or I reached out to you.
You approached me, yeah.
And then I said, you know what? We should totally start a podcast about podcasting from us, right?
I just remember you saying you had been wanting to do it.
Yeah, no, I did. I mean, I wanted to do the group for sure. I didn't ask you to change it. I said, I've been wanting to do it. I just didn't do it. But I also, with this thing too, this was another thing that I wanted to do and I never did. And so I was like, you know, we should start it. And then you said yes. And then we just started talking about it. And you said, what should we call it? And I said, I already have this name, She Podcasts. I've been wanting, like, I had a vision of what I wanted this show to be, but I didn't, it was like more like an interview show. I didn't know if that's what it was. It was like, you know, interviewing women podcasters, that literally what I was going to do. And then I had a 2.5 year old and I had a 5.5 year old. I'm not going to start another show. I had just launched, the feed. And so I thought, okay, let's do it. It's easier to do it co-hosted. And I just said, this is the show. I like the name. And then you said, okay. And we did that. And then we had a discussion about this. I don't think it was like I brought it up to you. I think we just started to talk about it, where it was like, should we change the name of the group?
Yeah, that's right. Because the name of the show was She Podcast, was Women. Yeah. Right.
And so then we just changed the name of the group, so that we kind of, I think, changed the name of the group right around the time we launched the show.
Yes. So they weren't match.
So it would match. That's right. Because you're a matchy-matchy lady.
I'm annoying like that. Yes.
I know. So I think that's what we did. We changed it and we just went for it. And I remember we launched with 4 episodes, kind of not very well done at all. I remember I was using a Nessie microphone in the kitchen at this, because I didn't even have a home.
Nope.
I didn't have a house. I didn't have a home. That was mine.
Your house, your shack was being warmed by a coal oven, wasn't it? You didn't even have a heater.
Well, actually, that was the other house. This was the house we didn't even own. Like, this was like, we had to like evacuate our other house, which is now known as the cockroach house. So that gives you an idea as to what happened. Where it was like the downstairs started getting all messed anyway, cockroaches and all the stuff. And then Randy like literally came home one day and said, we are leaving. Mm-hmm. And he just picked up and we left, like literally within a week.
And then you hung out with a friend, right? I remember this, because you were like homeless for a week. Yes.
That's right.
This was very stressful, as I remember.
Yes.
For me.
And so they had a home that they were trying to sell. And so they had the whole upstairs with a whole entire other, like, it was plenty of space for another family. Like, it was one home, but 2 floors. And we had the top floor. Anyway, and that top floor, we didn't have very much. There was like a table in the kitchen. And that's it. And that was the only place I could record. And so I was in there and I was using a blue Nessie microphone, which was the cutest microphone ever, but the worst microphone. It had popping peas. It picked up all the sounds. I couldn't touch it because if I touched the table, it made noise. It was awful, even though I thought it was so cute.
I thought mine was worse. I had a blue snowball. I often did not use headphones. My cat was constantly
screaming.
She was, could not be alone. She was very old. And she was constantly like bursting through the door and yelling in the show. Oh, I actually kind of want to hear it again just to hear Bodhi.
Just to hear. I know, because we captured
dead.
It, right?
Yeah, she did.
So, all the time with the kids opening the door, Maymay constantly coming into the room wanting to have nummies.
Mama!
And I'd have to pull up my shirt and then have her stuck to my boob while we were talking. And I'm just like, this is...
so many butt wipings from you.
I'm only in
that phase now, 5 years later. But like, you were wiping Hunter's butt and like trying to...
Well, actually, Maymay's butt.
Yeah,
Hunter was fine.
Yeah.
Oh. Hunter was 5.5, so she was fine. But, okay. Oh, my God, it was insane. Anyway.
Yeah. So you can hear us getting to know each other in the first couple of episodes because, you know, we weren't strict necessarily about what we were talking about. In fact, we were mostly talking about our experience podcasting, and we had surveyed the group as to why they podcast. And we talked a little bit about the reasons for doing it. And then we just kind of like went from there. I remember one of the early episodes was about copyrights and like a bunch of, it was when we first started reporting the news, like a bunch of shows had been yanked from Apple because they were using MLB and NFL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I said, like, just from my knowledge in marketing, like it was a good conversation because I was like, you can't ever use someone else's logo for anything. It doesn't matter if you're selling something, like it's not yours, it doesn't belong to you, and they should know better.
Right.
And you didn't really have that. I mean, your side of it was just kind of like, I feel so bad for them, like, which is typical. I mean, and thus our chemistry was born.
And thus, no, yeah, because we always brought both sides of the conversation. Like, I had a lot more technical podcasting heavy background, right?
And,
like, I
yeah,
give
knowledge.
The insight of all of that stuff, and then you had all the other like online business, online marketing,
yeah, just overall. General corporate experience, yeah. And like, yeah, so. Yeah, so we did the show, and then I got pregnant, and I went away. And then when I came back, I felt like Elsie, like, I don't know what happened when I went away, because you never got real specific about it. I just know that, like, I went away for 3 months because I couldn't podcast because I was, like, you know, had a brand new baby. And I had been doing a show called Lady Business Radio, and Elsie was my last interview on Lady Business Radio.
Isn't that weird?
And I'm glad that she was, because it was a good transition. It was clear that I was, like, over it. And then I just wanted to focus on She Podcast and podcasting from then on out. When I came back, I just didn't want to have a conversation anymore with any more women entrepreneurs about how they came to get an online business. Like, I had 180 conversations. It was over. And so when I went away, my Lady Business Radio community kind of remained stagnant. And the She Podcast group, like, tripled in 3 months. It went from, like, 500 to 1,700.
Right.
And then Elsie, you can hear in her voice the first time back, she's like, I'm so happy you're back. Like, she was like, she was like a maniac. And what happened when you, like, how did it feel that I was not there? It must have been overwhelming.
You know what it was? It's like, at that time, Jess, in all honesty, like, I mean, as much as She Podcast, obviously we were doing it for our profession. Like, it was a professional choice, right? We did this kind of professionally. I mean, as much as we did it as well to build community and all this kind of stuff, we were tactical in our launch because we felt this wasn't there, right? So we started it, and we started from the point of view of going, like, we're going to have these episodes, we're going to teach people how to podcast. And it was very much like that. But the reality of what ended up happening when we started to get together every week is that it became our outlet. It became our sound, or at least for me.
Commentary.
It was my everyday feeling like I was connected. It felt like I had a friend to talk with. I felt like I laughed because you made me laugh so hard. And we could talk about all of the things that were happening in our lives, mm-hmm. sprinkled with all the podcasting stuff, because I can't stop talking about it. So it was like the perfect release. I didn't have anybody to talk to. I was stuck in a mountain with, like, that's when I had no heater, where it was like this little tiny cabin with, like, I was surrounded by people that I just felt like I could not connect with. I was completely disconnected from anybody and everybody, and you were my salvation. So when I kind of continued the show because I did have guest people come on, and that was fine. I loved the guest people that came on. But what I did find out is that the rapport that we had was not present with other people. So I wasn't getting it. I wasn't getting the release. I was like having to work at it. You know, it's like Lady Business Radio, where, like, if somebody would come on, you're like, okay, now I have to interview them, or I have to lead this conversation. Whereas when you and I got on,
it was just easy.
It's easy. Yeah. We just start talking and it's great. And that's it. The end.
Similarly, I was constantly feeling like I was dealing with idiots, because when you first have a baby, you're obviously the only person that knows how to do anything right.
Right.
And since Elsie had a 2-year-old, I knew she would understand that, like I had my husband there. My mother-in-law wasn't as helpful as she could have been. My sister-in-law is my nanny. Like, I hated everyone. Mm-hmm. And she's the only one that could understand what I was going through, that I needed to work and I needed to be online and I needed a podcast. And, like, my door had no lock.
Right.
It was like a fucking nightmare. Anyway, like, you know, and just how frustrating men are, like when babies first happen, like, it was nice to have somebody to talk to about that too for me when I came back. Like, I was so frustrated with my situation, and I know it had nothing to do with podcasting, but it did though, because it was the missing piece to life.
Right. And I think that, you know, we get a lot of feedback from people saying, like, you guys, like, you know, get on it. You know what I mean?
This, like, show's not, right. And if that's the case, like, you're thinking that right now, this show is not necessarily for you. There's lots of shows out there that just go through the technical or the how to do.
Right.
This is like podcasting as a lifestyle. Ooh.
Ooh, look at that. No, you try. It's like, for me, it's like the way that I like to refer to this, what ended up being with the show, because we actually did come on to do it like a professional business show about women in podcasting kind of thing. But what ended up being is what I feel, what I talk about now is like, it's a personality driven show. It's like, it's you and I, we talk about stuff, but it's more about lifestyle. It's more about the way that we deal with the things. People want to know what's going on behind the scenes. Yes, we do have, you know, wise things to say about the state of the industry. And we'll continue to do that, and tips and information and advice and all that stuff. But it always comes from, I think, a really grounded place where, from experience, like, we're not, yeah, we're not trying to teach you anything other than the fact that you learn through our mistakes.
Also, if you just want the news, sign up for the Podcast Business Journal.
That's right.
Sign up for Inside Podcasting. There's going to be a couple more coming out here in the next couple of months. Sign up for all of those. And then when you want to hear what Elsie and I think about those things, then you come to this show. But we're not reporters. We're commentators. Right. We do editorials.
That's right. And also, we're not also going to report on all the things. We're only going to bring you the stuff that appeals to us.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not. Yeah. So if, like, there's a, you know, piece of information, there's a lot of news that are out there that I roll my eyes at, where I'm like, yeah, that's big news. But really, I have nothing to say about that, nor do I care, because it doesn't really affect the majority of us.
So let's talk about how we got, I want to hear your point of view, because I've been on like 20 shows in the last week, and I've been talking about how I came to want a conference.
Okay.
And just quickly for people who don't know, I wanted a conference for the same reason I was desperate to get to Vegas. I've never been anywhere. I had kids when I was 21. I'm dying to travel. I have horrible wanderlust, and I like to be away from my family once in a while. So I thought a conference, when I first met Elsie, I was like, ooh, and then maybe we could meet people in their cities and do like a 6 months, one day each city kind of thing. Like, we'll go home and then we go back out, and then we go home and we go to a different city. And she was like, that sounds interesting. But I was really excited to travel. And this was like 5 years ago. I always wanted to have a conference. So what about you? Like, how, what is your side of it?
I think that I've
I know what
about
you think
this.
About it, yeah. But I want you to tell them, like, the succession
of, like, yeah, it always started with a no. I don't want to, because I'm not that, like, I don't have, what did you say? What is that word that you used?
Wanderlust?
Yeah. I don't have that. No. Like, once
in a while.
You're
an emergency immigrant. I'm sure having a home and staying there is probably comforting for you.
Yeah. And also, you know, but honestly, if you start to think about it, how many homes have we lived in since we've been doing She Podcast?
Good point.
Right? We haven't really ever really rooted down anywhere. This is like, this last home right now is where I feel like I can now unpack and start to buy things for the walls. You know what I mean? Like, I now feel that. And sadly, this is the first time we've had a couch since Ren and I have been together. So, you know what I mean? So, given all of that extra stuff in terms of the everyday life, me getting up and going somewhere else and doing something else outside of the chaos that was already my life was like, why would I want to do that? Like, I don't even have a place to be, and now I'm leaving. And then when I came back, it just, my people were little, my little girls were little, and we had arranged our life so that I was the sole provider, but, you know, emotional support for them. I'm the one that fed them. I'm the one that did all the stuff. Like, we didn't really ever have any help. Like, I had a babysitter once in a while when I went and saw a yoga client. So, no, we weren't those people that put the kids in preschool, that had babysitters come up. Like, it was me. I was there the whole time. So having something like what you were talking about, the logistics of it was just too much. For, like, it just didn't fit and it stressed me out. So even just talking about it stressed me out. So I said no to you. I essentially was like, I just kind of pretended like you didn't say it.
Pretty much for 5 years.
For 5 years.
She acted like I wasn't bringing it up. And if I did bring it up, now I'm wondering if you did this on purpose. Whenever I brought it up, she found a way to have stipulations that were impossible to compromise on. Like, for example, did you do this on purpose? You might have.
I don't know. Maybe.
For example, like the first couple times I brought it up, she would go, well, I know you want a big thing, but I'd really like to have like an intimate space, like only 50 people. I'm like, okay, but we're going to need to charge them each like $1,000. She was like, well, I really feel like it should be accessible to everyone who can't afford to do it. And I was like, so you want to make $5 is what you're saying? Because we can't have 50 people and then have it be accessible. We make $500. It's stupid. You either have to do a small group for very expensive or not expensive for as many people as will fit in the door. And when I would say that, she would go, I can't handle that many people. And I was like, and we're done here. She does not want money.
Well, that's when I stepped into it because
that
you guys.
Was a, yeah, a couple of years ago, right? Or was that
well,
last year?
You guys had just passed 10,000 members in the She Podcast group. And me, not knowing any of this, said, you know what you guys should do? You guys should have a conference.
Yeah, we've had this. Yeah.
And that sparked a conversation on the show where a bunch of the listeners started feedback saying, yeah, we want a conference. We want a conference. And then I heard the, I can only say, neurotic ramblings of Elsie about this conference. And I'm like, well, this ain't ever going to happen because of everything you were just saying.
Yep. I was like, it's like the most stressful thing that I could ever imagine. Okay. So anyway, you kept talking about it. You kept bringing it up. We did figure out how to make money other ways, right? We tried everything.
I tried everything,
everything.
To not do a conference.
That's right.
We tried. Basically what we did.
Yes. We tried everything.
And why do you think those things didn't work?
Well, because both of us were not really into it.
Because we both always had another job or something to do. Mm-hmm. And because your lifestyle, in the sense that it does revolve around you, like Elsie, I also learned through this that Elsie only has room for the things she makes room for. If it's not planned far enough in advance, she can't just be like, sure, I can add an extra email this week. It's going to have to be like a month from now, can you do emails? Because otherwise, she can't fit it in. She gets very bogged down. She's extremely overwhelmed. It comes late. She doesn't sleep. Her children are sick. Everyone's dying. Here's your email.
No,
right?
But Jess, let's put it that, and John, I'm going to say this, but
not this time around, Elsie, but like, no, I'm saying in the past. If
no,
I've
I know,
tried
but
to
let
get
me.
You to, yeah.
Right. But I just want to explain this in this context. So, John, this is, again, this is not to like guilt you into anything at all, okay? Because this is my life.
Uh oh.
So when I like, okay, on the weekends, I have a very specific, like, just like Jess is saying, like there is a certain amount of time that I have to do all the things in order for things to get done. And if for whatever reason, we don't get the show on like Sunday morning or whatever, like around there, or even Sunday afternoonish, it's not going to get done.
Yep.
Because I don't have any more space.
But also, Elsie, like the last time we tried to do something that wasn't a conference was the VIP day here at my house. And
that's
I
right.
remember we had planned for both of us to have certain jobs. And then spontaneously, you went on a trip across the country and you were like, that's fine. I'll just go ahead and like write them on the road. And then you just could not for the life of you find a place with Wi-Fi. Like you were never in a hotel with Wi-Fi. You just were like, I don't know where you guys were staying, but none of these places ever heard of the internet. I don't know why.
Well, you have
it
to understand.
It just became impossible.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and I didn't have to. And I, because I had planned for Elsie to do those things, I wasn't doing those things. We didn't get to market it as much. And then we didn't get as many people as we would have liked. And that's when I was like, you know what? I think if I just let her choose what she wants to do, which she's told me was show up and speak, and I have someone else handle the rest, then it would work.
Right.
But I think as long as she's involved in the planning, something about her will slow it down because she's nervous about it. And it's like, and I think you knew that too, because the last time I asked you if I could do it, you were like, Fine. But I've heard you say over the last year, like, I didn't want my energy to affect it. Is that right?
It is correct. But let me go back again to what happened when we were going across the the world.
I'm not trying to make you defensive either.
No, it's not defensive. I'm just telling you that this is the reality of what happened, which is exactly what was happening with John.
I wasn't mad.
So we're going. And then so this I had full on like I can totally do it, Jess. It was a simple thing.
Yes.
Simple. And then I had all of this other crap that was coming up for Podcast Movement. I had meetings with people. All of a sudden, I was leading like this panel of CEOs. I had meetings to attend. I had CEO people to like write to. I had all of this extra stress of all of the things that I had to plan for Podcast Movement.
Do you guys hear her right now? I just want to say something. Last Podcast Movement this last year, I asked her to be at the booth for an hour.
Yeah.
And what you're hearing right now is exactly what happened when I asked her to watch the booth. First, I have to do the meeting, and then I need the notes, and then I'm leading a thing, and then the meetup. And I was like, fuck it.
That's right.
Fuck it. She can't, because it's not even the hour. It's the fact that I've thrown her a wrench, and like all the plates she was juggling just blew up in the air.
That's exactly
into her face.
What it feels like every, like this morning. Yep. But I mean, we're not going to get into that. But no, that's what happened.
It's just like your personality. Yeah.
It's like ding, ding. I have all of these things that I'm like, and if one of these things falls, I'm screwed. I have to know how many balls I have up in the air. And if there's an extra one, they all collapse.
I don't think it's the planning. I really do think it's your personality. I think, you only have room in your head and heart for this many things. And if someone throws you another one, go fuck yourself. It's not happening. We can't do it. Everything explodes. Goodbye. Danger, 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 danger.
And I think, that's a boundary. I think that's boundary to me.
It is.
You know?
It probably is. Yes.
It's like, I don't say, like, you know, when people say like, I say yes to too many things. I'm doing too many things. I'm like, I don't. Like, I'm like,
that's me.
I don't.
That's like I said, that's why this week the She Podcast was late, was because everybody threw everything to me on Saturday. And I'm trying to get everything done. And it was Sunday. And I hadn't even touched She Podcast yet.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, no. It was crazy. So, yeah, I have to learn to be more like Elsie. I have to be more Elsie-like.
So I asked her if I could do an event and keep her out of it. She was hesitant, but she said yes. And then I knew I didn't have her buy-in. But then because I asked her, can I use the She Podcast name? And you said, well, we both built it. So, yes. So between that moment and now, when did you buy in? When was the first time you thought, all right, this might be fun?
Tuesday.
Well, I think the first time that I started to see, like, feel it was halfway through the Kickstarter.
Interesting.
Halfway through the Kickstarter. Because again, we work differently. You just throw the stuff out. Like you literally just put it out and you just go and this, we need this next. We need that. And you just do it. Whereas I'm the other way around. Like I'm very much about like foundation. Why are we doing this? Like, what's the mission? Like, how can we connect to like something greater? We have to infuse that and then we can put it out like that. I have this whole thing that I work with. That's how I work with it, you know? And I know that that's what I do. And so when people just do that, that's why I don't do improv. It's the same thing. It's like, I don't like to be put in a position where I don't understand like all the pieces work. I love to see how all the pieces work. And you don't do that. You don't read the instructions, right?
I do actually when I'm putting shit together. But when but the thing is, the difference is that I think somewhere in my heart and head, I've written the instructions. I don't need to read them. I already know what it's for. I know why we're doing it. I know why they want it. I know why it's good for you innately.
Right.
You need to make sure you've stopped and analyzed it. I already understand these things, and that's why I'm off and running. Like, this seems like it would be good. Pew! You're just like, wait, didn't we once say it was like driving with someone who was constantly speeding?
I don't remember.
Didn't you? One time you compared me to like a speeding vehicle.
No, you did it. You compared yourself to that. And then you were like, that's it. Like you said,
I'm off and driving before you
and
even
I'm like this.
Gotten in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like driving down the road at top speed.
Jessica's flying down the road and Elsie's in the passenger seat hitting that imaginary brake
button. I'm like, wait, slow down.
Here's the thing. Like, it's as basic as this. We need tomatoes in order to make a salad. And then I'm in the car off to get tomatoes before Elsie's like, well, what kind of tomatoes would taste the best? What kind of lettuce are we having? I'm like, you still have to go to the store.
Right.
Let's go. And see, tomatoes.
And actually, it's a slightly different. It's not like you're like, we need tomatoes for the salad. And then I go, well, I don't know if I want tomatoes in my salad. I think I want to have some sprouts and some kale and some dandelion greens. Later. Why don't we make like I have a whole other idea of the type of salad I want. I don't want the salad that anybody else has. I want this kind of salad. But in order to get dandelion greens and get nettles into a salad, like it has to be a very right. specific thing. And so for me, I get caught up with that.
Right. And I'm already like, we can still get all that shit in the store. Let's go.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good because you actually infuse meaning into all the stupid shit I do, which is great. So, all right. So halfway through the Kickstarter, and why did you buy into it?
Then? Because I remembered that it was the community, because people were so excited for us and for She Podcasts. And really the thing, and again, I'm going back to what really makes me tick, is the fact that people were buying into it because when I say we, I'm talking about the collective, not you and Jess, not you and I. When people are going like, this is amazing. We can do this. Let's do it. And it was, people were wanting it for themselves because She Podcasts wanted it. And then that really tapped into what I believe in, which isn't like, I don't lead with me. I lead with together, community, we can do it. And so when I saw that, I was like, it became an offering, and that's what it is to me. Then it became more meaningful to me because I'm like, I can do that for them. This is something that is for all of us. We want to collectively to have this experience. And so that's where it shifted for me. And the fact that everybody was around it, I was like, where are you coming from? And people were like, we're so happy for you. We're so proud of you. This is so incredible. People really need this. And I was like, what?
They do?
What?
I was just doing something for Jessica, but no.
I was getting emails. That when I said this on that episode, I was getting emails. They need to do this. We need this conference. I said, hey, listen.
Were you really? That's interesting.
Yeah, because a lot of my clients are listeners to She Podcast, and they were saying, we need this, and I'll pick up Elsie, and I'll drive her to the conference. And I'm like,
oh my God.
I said, hey, listen.
I'll drag her by the goddamn crazy. Hair.
I almost got fired by asking that question. I'm out of this.
You know, no, you didn't.
Just kidding.
That's ridiculous. I thought maybe it would have been when I started sending you like glittery stages and like purple and green, like neon lights on stuff. You seemed to be excited when I started sending you like colorful backgrounds.
That made it nice. I liked that. But I have to say that it was the community aspect of it. It was that. That's what made me feel like, okay. And again,
that's the part where I started to freak out, actually.
Right. Right. But see, and so I'm going to, before we wrap up, because we have to wrap up here very kind of soon to this kind of thing, is this is how I felt about it, because there was still a lot of trepidation for me. And I know that it is really hard for me whenever I have an emotional reaction to something. I have a horrible attitude. Like I cannot, like if I don't like something, it's really hard. It's really hard for some, like for me to pretend. And you can ask my mom about this. Mom, if you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like,
Mom, if you're listening, you poor woman.
I know. So if like they were doing something that they didn't like, or I got, you know, I don't know, a piece of food that I didn't like, or we're going to a trip that I didn't like, I could not hide how upsetting it was to me. Like, even if I'm like, if I resigned myself to it, my whole being is an expression of my inner body. Like everything.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
You're May.
I was just going to say same exact thing. I was like, oh my God, May May is mini Elsie.
May.
Yes. Yes. May May is me.
Holy shit.
So I am like this entire. And so I knew that if you made any kind of choices that came for She Podcasts, that my initial response, because I'm so anxious and afraid about trying new things and having all that, like I always see like the worst thing ever, that I'm like, I cannot bring this to Jessica. She can't take steps to make the best conference she can with my ass in the mix. And so I was like, I can't do it. I cannot be the person that's going to say, but what about, no, I can't. Like, I didn't want to bring that to the table.
And what about next year?
It's a different story because I've seen, I think what it is, it's like, I just can't, I don't have that in me. Like, I'm not like a spur of the moment type person. I just don't do that. And so I have a no first, like it's no, 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 no. And it's too, and again, let me put it back to like what I was taught. I think I told this to the podcast Business Journal. So, you know, when we were having a conversation that I wanted to have my kids, and this is relevant, guys, I wanted to have my kids at home. Like I wanted to have my babies at home. I wanted to have home births. And I was planning on doing home births and all this kind of stuff. And some of the key things that I learned about having a baby is that you as a woman, as you're going through this process, you have to really release into having this baby. Like you have to like let yourself go into it. Like you cannot, I mean, it's already going to be so insane. That's why midwives are there. They are there to keep your mindset steady so that you ride this wave of having this baby. There's all kinds of things that are going to be happening. But in order for this to happen with the mom, you also have to have people around you that believe in you. And if there are people in the room when you're having this birth at home that are staunch, no, you're going to kill the baby. This is the worst thing you could possibly do. Do not have a birth at home and all this kind of stuff. If you have any crap from any family member that does not support your choice, do not have them in the house. Let them go somewhere else because it's already so challenging. And that's even in the hospitals and things like that, whatever you choose to do. And so I thought, I don't want to be that person when Jess is giving birth. You're giving birth to this thing. I don't want to be the one that comes in there and totally derails your vision and your positivity or your decision-making process because I'm in there looking like, remember when you were talking about the stuff in the last episode and you're like, oh my God, Elsie, what is wrong with your face? You should see her face. Because I am like that.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, and I do that.
I smell shit.
If I just want to wrap this up as someone watched this from the beginning, I can't tell you how proud I am of Jessica. I'm not going to lie. When this first happened, she had had a concussion and she was a scatterbrain and she couldn't remember anything. And when she said she was doing this, I was like, oh boy. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, she surrounded herself with good people. She's worked tirelessly. She's got a great team. She fired Elsie, but like just kept her on. And she has done such a great job for this conference. And I'm proud of the both of you. I'm proud of Elsie facing your fears and coming to this. And as this thing goes off this week, I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's the first of many. And I think it's going to be a force for women in podcasting, exactly what you guys wanted to do. And you two are amazing. And I'm just proud to be friends with both of you.
Thank you. You're so sweet.
Thank you, John.
Thank
you're very
you so
sweet.
Much.
You're going to make
Thank
us cry.
You. I know.
That's my job.
That's really...
That's my job.
Thank you. That's awesome. I hope you're right.
All right.
I hope everyone has a good time. And I hope that it's everything that whoever's coming, I hope it's everything you want it to be. That's all I want. And you too, Elsie. I hope it's what you want it to be too.
Yeah, I hope. I'm there. And that's what I was saying, like in the last, I think a couple episodes, I was like, and I know that you were like, no, no, no. And it's like, when I say I wanted to be like, I'll be your puppy. I'll go wherever you want me to, because it really isn't anything other than like when you're in a partnership, you have to understand that you have to know who's the leader, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you take the lead. You say, Elsie, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. My job at that conference is to do that. That's what I am. Like,
I am grateful that you're open to doing more stuff, though, because there is one aspect of this conference that I hated with everything in my heart. And it's interesting that that's like when I was like, if you were to take over, I didn't tell her that I hated it. I was just like, if you were going to take over a part of the conference, what would it be? And she was like, I would like to curate the content and the speakers. And I was like, oh my God, I love her so much. Because that's the part. Like, I feel like I was good at every part of this conference. Like, I could nail anything, but the content gave me such agita. It made me upset. It made me doubt my faith in humanity. It made me wonder if I knew anybody in this fucking town and like what they were standing for. Like, I didn't understand what people were pitching. I didn't know why they were pitching. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know their shows. I didn't know if this would be a good thing to teach or a bad thing to teach. Like, I wasn't sure about the, you know, because I learn so differently than everybody else and I do everything myself. So like, and it's been a long time since I've sat through a session at a conference. I wanted everything to be fascinating. She's so much better at what she said earlier in this show is like, we have to stop and think about why. That is what content needs. If you're designing the menu of a restaurant, you need a chef, not a house manager. And I'm a house manager trying to decide what flavor palettes go well together. I don't fucking know.
Right.
And luckily, Elsie can be the chef and cook the food while I make sure we have beautiful glasses and all the napkins are clean and all the wait staff right. is working. Like, that's the one thing I think that if you could take that over, I think you'd be comfortable doing it. I think you'd enjoy doing it. I do not enjoy doing it. I hated doing it. I want to punch everyone while I'm doing it.
Right. No. And that's what it is. It's like that to me. That's what I hate doing what you just said about the napkins and the polish and the things like that's like, don't do that. But for me, the culture, the community, the content, all of that stuff to me is seminal as to what makes things different. And I do have a sense of where it's coming from. And that's where, like, that's what grounds
me. Actually,
like, again,
and actually, I'll just reveal this to the audience. I know we really have to go, but like, I'll just reveal this. It mattered so much to her that she brought it up with me a couple different times because even though I assured her that we wanted the same thing for content, it was like she either didn't believe me or because she couldn't stick her fingers in the pie, it wasn't going to taste good. So she kept being like, but what about this? And I don't want this. And I don't want this. I'm like, right, me neither. Do you want to do this part? No, no, no. I don't want to do any of this part. And then like a week later, I really want to make sure that we don't have this. I'm like, right, cool. Did I do something wrong? No, no. Do you want to do this part? No, 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 no. Okay, great. You know, like it was very hard for her not to do that part. And I'm grateful because I love the speak. All you guys, I love you. I loved reading your apps. I loved Emily for coming down and helping me. That was just out of my wheelhouse.
It was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll send them all a contract, sign them all up. I'll even get them, you know, the travel information. But for the love of God, don't make me know whether or not they're good speakers. I don't know.
All right.
We have to run. This wasn't, as enthusiastic and pumped up as I thought we could be. But you know what? We will have to do that as a roundup next week afterwards. Yep. Talk to you about
we might record at Buzzsprout.
And we might record at the Buzzsprout booth. That's right. So
we'll see.
Tickets are over. So I'm not going to plug for tickets. That's not important anymore. Here's what I'll say. If you're not coming, keep a lookout this coming week because I will open up tickets for 2020 for about 3 days and then it'll be done until middle of next year. So if you want an early ticket, make sure you text She Podcasts to 66866 or you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, which is all at She Podcasts. I'm going to open them very cheap for a very limited time while we're there, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you don't get them Friday, they're going to go up a little bit in price Saturday and then a little bit in price Sunday. And then we're done here until spring. So if you couldn't come last year and you want to come next year, definitely make sure you're following us. Thank you guys for everything this year. Thank you to the two of you this year for making up for all the stuff that I couldn't do here because I was doing that. And all the times I was like checking emails when I was supposed to be commentating on our conversation.
I knew it.
Sorry. I love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you guys who are listening. Thank you all so much. And we'll see you next time. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.